coming trash. And I am a pagan. And that's why this show is called Trash Opinions.
What were they talking about?
I don't know. I'm just packing my... just in case.
Well, what were they saying?
I think that they were talking maybe about Sophie to begin with.
No, Sophie was over there, too. You're messing up your story really big time. So get it straight.
I don't know what the story is.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Trash Opinions, where we talk all things trash. I am your host, Trash, and today we are talking about Survivor South Pacific, a season that is essentially a sequel to Redemption Island. A lot of people consider it a huge improvement over Redemption Island, but like I kind of think they're similar in quality. They're both middle-of-the-road, alright seasons. But instead of Rob and Russell, we have Ozzie and Coach. You know how much I love Coach, so let's get right on into this. And if you want to see more content like this, do not forget to like, comment, and subscribe. It really helps me out with the algorithm, with reaching more people. I enjoy the discourse in my comment section. It's usually a fun time. I appreciate every single person who watches my video and leaves a little comment about what they agree with or didn't agree with. I do enjoy that part of the YouTube life after all. Anyway, it's South Pacific time.
Talent, my soul, my life is poetry, performance, spoken word.
Say something, give us something, anything.
Because see, I would walk miles and miles to protect his ageless spirit of a child on floors of black and white checkered tiles, only stepping on the white ones like when Billie Jean claimed it was Mike's son, rubbed off on my everyday with his laugh. That's all.
There isn't anything that I wouldn't do for this man. I would even take off my clothes and give him a private show to the tunes of his soul, because he's all that I need and more. I would give birth to 10 of his children without using any drugs to help ease the pain, and then I would give him one more just because our love is that insane.
There is not one thing that I would not do for my lover, my best friend, my honey, my boo. I can't wait to meet him. All right, I'm good.
Is that a little spoken word? Does that calm you?
Like crazy.
Semhar Tedesi. I like Semhar. I remember being bummed she was the first boot on my first watch. The scene of her reciting poetry is absolutely iconic. Too bad it didn't give her skills to win the Redemption Island challenge. Semhar is just kind of adorable. So, she's going in cute.
I have a boyfriend. I've been gay all my life. I mean, most of my life.
I would not have guessed.
Please, this fat is flying around me.
You know, I'm here for the $1 million just like everybody else.
Came out in the job because I felt, you know, if it could help, if it could help other cops behind me,
right,
it would help them. Being gay, it's who I am.
And if they don't like it?
I think I look like a bear. What do you think?
I'm
a bear. Definitely a bear.
Mark Papa Bear Caruso. Papa Bear's great. Sammy doesn't last long. Him scrambling looking for the idol is a lot of fun, but he gets voted out pretty much unanimously. Papa Bear giving Cochran very bad talking to girls advice is so funny too.
You like somebody, you go up to them. This is what I want you to do. It's not that different from a guy.
Right.
Then you walk over and you say, hi, how you doing? Can I tell you something? I really like those earrings. My just reverse
them. I don't think that's going to work
at
all for
me. Listen,
I really like those earrings.
No, Papa Bear is a nut. Giving me girl advice, which is like, you know, I'll take it, but I don't particularly want it.
Don't say that ever.
I don't know why I was
listening. Earrings, honestly, if you came up and told me that you thought my earrings were good, I would think you're gay.
He's fun while he lasts. He's going to get mildly entertaining.
I'm 44 years old. I'm a funeral director, mortician. I have 4 children. Being the mother that I am, I'm going to have my eyes, my ears open. You think I'm asleep? I'm not asleep. I'm going to be nosy as hell.
Stacy Powell. I fucking love Stacy. Love, love, love Stacy. She doesn't have any time for your Chuck E. the Cheese jokes, none of your Halloween jokes. Stacy is such a treasure on this season, and I will never accept any Stacy Powell slander under this roof. She's so real compared to how fake and insincere the rest of her tribe is.
Everybody, they a tribe acting like everything is hunkadory. It ain't hunkadory. Who you talk to? I talk to all the girls. I'm doing this.
Yeah, he didn't talk to
lie
you.
Lie straight from hell. All y'all gonna go to hell with gasoline drawers on. Just lying. They are just lying.
I miss you so much.
You got Coach, who's full of shit, Brandon, Albert, Edna, all full of shit, and then you have Sophie and Rick, who don't talk, but, like, they're still fake as fuck, so who cares? Stacy didn't have much of a chance on that tribe, honestly. Stacy's speech at Redemption Island is the stuff of legends.
What's his name? What was his birth name? It wasn't Coach. It was Benjamin, wasn't it? And, you know, they're children, 26, 22. They over there listening to all of Benjamin's Halloween jokes. Chucky the Cheese jokes. They want it. He going off for loyalty, got them feet on Benjamin, so loyalty. Come on now. Every day got a story. I wasn't buying it. No. So they trade like yesterday, like the tribal was all cahoots. Benjamin, let's give a hug. Keep that hug. Ooh. For me, because it wasn't real.
And the best Survivor meme that there is, probably my favorite scene in the entirety of the show. I was rooting for Stacy the entire time. She's for sure one of my favorites on the season. Boop, for me. Love. Going in love. 100% going in love.
Boom.
I don't have a great background in outdoorsman activities, but I'm Native American. So I'm hoping that somewhere in my ancestral background, the great spirits of my past will impart on me some wisdom.
Elise Umamoto. Elise snuggled up to Ozzy and got voted out for it. She seemed sweet, but she offered nothing. Meh.
I don't feel comfortable around Michaela. It's just the way that she carries herself, the way that she flaunts herself off. I'm not going to draw close to a situation that I know I can get myself in trouble in. It's not cool for me.
Step on top of each other and start lining them up.
Michaela Wingle. I always felt bad for Michaela. She was the victim of Brandon's sexism and voted out earlier than she should have been. Brandon was clearly just sexually attracted to her and blaming it on Michaela for some reason. Brandon acts like she's this foul temptress who weaponizes sex, and cut to Michaela doing absolutely nothing and Brandon staring at her angrily. In general, I liked Michaela. Her confessionals were decent, and her making fun of Edna was pretty great. I also like her strategy of acting like Russell Hance is the devil and that Brandon is a werewolf. I'm not sure if it was strategy or she genuinely believed it, but I would say it's a good strategy regardless if you're trying to get out Brandon. It sucks that other than being the target of Brandon's angry little boy crush that he didn't know how to handle, she didn't really have much to offer. But what she does have, she at least makes entertaining TV out of it. She's going in mildly entertaining.
It's good to see them, you know. It's nice.
Meaning?
They're temporary.
Ooh. Christine Shields Markowski. She calls Ozzy and Coach temporary players, and it's all downhill for her game from there. Christine gets voted out first from her tribe and goes on this wild Matt Elrod tear through Redemption Island before Ozzy crushes her dreams right before the merge. It's ironic because she gets owned by the two players she called temporary. As Little John would say, don't start no shit, there won't be no shit. And if we all followed the word of Little John, I think the world would be a better place. Christine's tear is a lot better than Matt Elrod's in my eyes, as Christine is a much more rootable character for me personally. A 39-year-old New York teacher beating everyone in her path is a lot cooler in my eyes. It's a shame Ozzy had to ruin her streak by executing the best strategic move of his entire Survivor career, getting voted out. Christine's cool. She's for sure an underdog.
What do you do again?
Teacher.
What do you teach?
Science. I actually teach forensic science.
Oh. Yeah, well, I'm a cool high school teacher.
Hell, I'm not a teacher. I have an MBA, I've won over 20 poker tournaments, and I own 2 medical marijuana dispensaries. But I'm not going to tell any of them that. Why would I?
Jim Rice. Marijuana's? The devil's lettuce? On my good wholesome Christian Survivor?
I never have ever eaten marijuana!
Why I never... Why would you ever put marijuana on a good Christian family show like Survivor? Jim Rice is such a fun character. He has this infectious energy to him. He's hyper-strategic in an entertaining way, and it's a shame Jim Rice was not chosen for Cambodia. I think he would have done very well there.
Here's my thought process. If we have an opportunity here to try thinking that we're weak, we might give us some type of play. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page so that if something comes up, like, oh, some people wanted this, some people wanted that.
I really think it's too early at this point.
I could totally see him aligning with Fishback. He's the best narrator on Savai'i, and him, Ozzy, and Cochran seem to be the three main characters of that tribe. He is absolutely brutal to Cochran.
You're a piece of coward, and you're a poor excuse for a man. Don't meet ever again.
Okay. Cochran right now is playing the most brilliant third-place game in Survivor history. Every one of those nine people would love to take Cochran to the end.
He gets pagonged and then eliminated at Redemption Island, and it's really sad to see him go.
Yes. Jim drops out of the challenge. Jim has no shot at immunity tonight.
I know.
It is now down.
He definitely belongs in entertaining.
How is it?
It's great. I mean, you know, part of it's because it's the fruit of my labors, but so it's like a child.
So I'm drinking your child?
I appreciate it. It's becoming part of you.
Keith Tollefson. What can you really say about Keith Tollefson? He was the merge boot, perceived as the strongest on Savai'i. He's a whatever character. He's going in meh.
It feels like the tribe is really spending this time kind of forming a bond. But coming into today, I had these hopes that, you know, we'd be really organized, especially after winning and getting the flint and the food. So in my mind, this day was going to end with kind of the shelter done.
I feel like every time I watch and they don't have the shelter on day one,
what?
It worries me.
I have six kids. I'm used to being in charge.
Dawn Meehan. Six kids? Shine on, you crazy Mormons. Dawn's just an adorable mom, for now, on this season, extremely rootable, and is genuinely sad when she's eliminated. She had the biggest chance to pull a Danny Boatwright and sneak into the majority alliance out of all of them, but that cult was just too damn strong, and she couldn't get in. Her not wanting to get in her underwear to get into the water with cameras everywhere is a reminder that, oh yeah, not everyone's comfortable just being almost naked in front of America all the time.
We're on a tropical island, but I'm Mormon. We just are a ton more modest, I think, just the way we dress day to day.
You guys coming or what?
So, not having the swimsuit, like, a little bit of a dilemma for me, because I'm not used to swimming with people I just met.
In the nude.
With my underwear, for the love, I have six kids.
It's a valid reservation. It kind of made me fully realize that almost nudity is something you just become so normalized to watching Survivor, especially 23 seasons back-to-back, so it's just a jolt back to reality. Post-merge, Brandon basically viewed her as the devil for being nice.
You told us you would wanted to stay up there as long as possible
for
so that
sure.
We can eat.
For sure.
You just contradicted what you just said.
No. I'm saying it was hard for me. That's all I'm saying.
I don't buy it. I mean, that's why Savai'i tribe, excluding Cochran, is going to be picked off just exactly as they think they're going to be picked off. And we're trying to be nice about it. But sometimes it just gets on your nerves.
I'm not sure I understand what you were saying that I had said. I'm sorry. I think it's just a miscommunication.
I don't think it is. They're being nice because they have to. It was like, I'm so excited that you guys got to eat. I wanted to stay up there longer.
I was happy you got to.
And then I can't believe they ate. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't add up to me. Either you are okay with that we ate, or do you get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, but I was just saying it was hard for me.
I felt bad for Dawn in that instance. Brandon was just treating her like she was this deceptive, manipulative liar when he had no reason to think that of her. And the entire time, Dawn's just being so genuinely kind. Dawn seems like a sweetheart on this season, and it's no wonder she became someone that the fans liked.
I've always seen myself as a person that can bring together different types of people. And so for me, it almost couldn't be better at this stage to be that kind of person, because I'm probably a good person to try to get myself in with the former Upulu tribe members and see if there's some wiggle room there. It's just a matter of whether I can hang on long enough.
Dawn's adorable as hell, so she's obviously in cute.
So you're the voter.
Yeah.
And you realize Keith and I saved you three times. You were on the chopping block. Keith and I saved you three times. Mm-hmm. And that's what you can do.
It wasn't
against you. It was
really?
Self-interest.
Really? Yeah. It wasn't against me?
No.
And that's what you do? You throw the whole tribe under the bus, and now we basically might as well just, we're going to be knocked out one by one. Right. You got a lot to learn, buddy. You disgust me.
Whitney Duncan. Man, Whitney was brutal to Cochran after his flip. We have come to Whitney Duncan, the most purpled person in Survivor history. It is rumored it had something to do with her blossoming music career. I don't know. I've never heard of her. And the record company wanting to protect her. Doesn't make her a good character, though. She's going in meh.
I am by far the most Survivor-savvy player ever to play the game. I've never missed a single episode. At law school, I wrote a prize-winning essay on Survivor. My mom's gonna have mixed feelings about the new Cochran. She'll be thrilled that I'm taking initiative and doing work, but the first thing she said when she found out I was gonna be doing Survivor is, I don't want you handling a machete without supervision. I appreciate her advice, but new Cochran doesn't follow mommy's advice all the time. He cuts open a coconut when he needs to, and he does it by himself, with a machete. And delicious.
John Cochran. Cochran's insecurity about being ginger as fuck on a season full of tanned, muscular people is totally relatable, 100%. However, there's being self-effacing, and then there's being a complainer, afraid to live life. Cochran 1.0 doesn't understand the art of treading that line with grace. He's the start of a character archetype that will be perfected later by a certain David vs. Goliath character, the neurotic nerd. There hasn't been a Survivor contestant at this point quite so nerdy. Yeah, there was Fishback, but he was at least, like, athletic. John Cochran is just John Cochran, which I'm going to assume, much like the Suri getting off the couch, it let people at home know that even they can play Survivor. A lot more nerds started to be on Survivor after Cochran. Cochran gets bullied by Ozzy, and it's no wonder he flips. The tribe basically straight up tells him that he's on the bottom. I will say, he's got some stones for sticking up for himself, and I appreciated that.
I'm indestructible, so you better be shaking in your boots, you stupid bitch.
He can be annoying, a little, oh my glasses, stereotypical Rick Moranis type nerd at times, but he's the first nerd of the show. Like, and I can't help but feel a bit of an attachment to this early version of Cochran.
Yeah, we're all going to have pig gut breakouts tomorrow on our skin.
We're probably also all going to have oral herpes.
What? Why?
I'm sure somebody does. I mean, doesn't everybody have herpes?
What?
Doesn't that, like, 99% of human beings have herpes?
Okay, no. Harvard, I don't know.
So. Oral, no, like, getting a cold sore, that's herpes.
I've never had a cold sore.
Yeah.
That's
reassuring. You're not living then. You haven't lived until you've had a cold sore.
So you're telling us you just gave us
no,
a cold sore.
I'm saying I'm going to get it from one of you. Anybody want me to open them a coconut?
He's someone you want to root for, but he's just kind of a dweeb and not always in the best way. But he's rootable, despite his South Pacific game being kind of horrible. He flipped way too early, should have waited till he was able to get Dawn on his side first.
Kind of take from Al Pacino.
First you get the egomaniac returning player voted out. Then you get his idol. Then you get the $1 million.
Cochran's an underdog regardless.
Need some help, coach?
Thank you. I lost the challenge. My tribe walks off, and one person stops and helps me.
What was your name?
I'm Edna.
Edna. I like your smile.
Everybody else was just like, don't let the door smack your ass on the way out, essentially.
Edna Ma. Edna telling Brandon, oh, I hope it's not Russell, was rather brilliant. I laughed so hard.
I'm a little bit nervous to see who it is.
I hope it's not Russell.
Oh my goodness, dude. That would suck.
I hope it's not Russell.
Me either.
Edna is Coach's little coattail rider. She has no connection to anyone else in the alliance but Coach, and she is just a nice smiling face. There's not much to Edna. Some people like her. She seems nice, but nice can only do so much by itself. She's at least memorable as this little smiling Kool-Aid drinker. She's going in cute.
I am Russell Hanson's nephew. It's like being related to Hitler, but I don't think Hitler's nephew was running around saying, hey, I'm Hitler's nephew.
The lady next to me, she goes, oh my God, I hope it's not Russell Hanson. I will never, ever tell them my last name. They're not going to think I'm a Hanson. As long as I keep my shirt on, because this tattoo says Lil Hanson on it. And this tattoo says Hanson on it.
I have a tattoo on my neck that says Loco.
In Spanish, that means crazy. So right off the bat, people are going to start looking at my neck and, you know, thinking I'm really crazy. At one point in my life, I kind of was crazy, but, you know, it was a childish thing I did. You know, I tried to act like Russell in high school. I was bullying everybody, and I'm really not like that. You know, I'm a different person now. I've grew up a lot. God's number one for me.
Brandon Hance. Beata Maria, you know I am a righteous man. Of my virtue I am justly proud. Sorry about that. Your job is Russell Hance's nephew? What benefits do you get from that? Do you get dental? What about stock options? Thing is, Russell Hance is not Hitler. I don't understand why Brandon thinks him being related to Russell is this huge game destroyer for him. It's not. Russell isn't the devil. Calm down. Brandon's attitude towards Michaela, is pretty icky, and it's super annoying how sexist he is.
I got my doubts, but
about who?
Michaela.
Because I'm faithful to my wife.
It makes me feel uncomfortable being around her a lot of time.
Interesting. I respect that, man. I respect that.
I have a bad feeling. All I keep thinking about is poverty, poverty, poverty.
He hides behind his Christianity and is just kind of this punk-ass kid trying to be a grown-up, but he's just this disrespectful little teenager. He's just a really annoying character and kind of ruins some of the season. He's just this crying martyr all the time, and I mostly just feel pity for him. He's clearly mentally unwell, has a lot of demons, and should be in therapy, not on Survivor. He really was only cast because of nepotism, and he was just lame and angsty the entire time. He's also one of the least strategical players that ever played a game. He's Gabriel Cade tier, honestly.
Talking strategy with Brandon is like talking to you about shirts that aren't blue. He just doesn't comprehend it. It's not in his vocabulary.
He gives up his game for other people because he's just such a good-hearted Christian. And then he cries. I have no idea what the hell Brandon's been through. But he comes off as this brooding teenager who honestly gives off don't come to school tomorrow vibes. I'm almost certain his favorite rapper is Eminem. I will bet money on that. I love that even his dad and Russell call him an idiot. His dad even starts politicking the coach for him. It's hilarious.
Spit on $1 million. Spit on the sole survivor. I'm not playing.
What are you here for, then?
I'm here to set an example for Christ, bro. And I'm going to play this game from here on out with honor, with integrity, and like Christ would play it.
I know you're loyal, and that's the way I've always taught you to be, but I'm just saying.
What?
At the end of the day, and you know that a move would put you into the final three.
No.
Brandon, are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you.
I'm seeing Brandon frazzled. I'm seeing him. I don't like what I see, so I'm really glad that I came today, because if I had to grade Brandon on the way he's playing right now, I'd probably give him about a C. I don't know how he hasn't gotten voted off yet. I just wanted to confirm that you were going to take him, you know, make sure that where you really were with him. I just wanted to find out. I mean, you're the single person that he has all his eggs in that basket.
Right.
So at this point, who do you want to bring to the final three?
Brandon Hance's dad, a chip off the old block. They're all cut of the same cloth. Brandon's dad comes out here and basically tries to bully me into making sure that his son goes all the way to the end and wins $1 million.
Chip off the old Hance block, that Sean Hance's. He didn't understand how Brandon hadn't been voted out yet, and neither had I.
Very powerful spot right now for you.
I want to give my immunity necklace up.
Okay. So, Brandon, I was going to ask how it feels to know you are safe, but clearly you are no longer safe.
He wasn't blindsided. He gave up the freaking immunity necklace. Whenever you give up immunity necklace, your ass is going home. Brandon is supposedly playing this loyal game, when in fact he's playing a blind faith game. He's playing the game like he's playing with God, and he's not. He's playing with human beings that are greedy and want that money.
Russell Hance getting booed at the reunion is peak. Why are you booing me? I'm right. Brandon is absolutely a terrible player. I don't like him. I don't hate him. I only pity him. I hope he's a better adult. I hope he saw both of his appearances and grew the hell up, because man, What a mess. He's going in annoying.
I'm 51 years old, own my own ranch in Utah, cattle ranch. If you didn't train before you got here, I mean, if you didn't run, if you didn't learn how to build a fire, you might as well spit in the wind.
Rick Nelson. Rick made it to fifth? Really? Wow. He had to make an effort to be that unmemorable with that awesome stash. He just sits in the background and does nothing the entire season. When he defended Edna in confessional, I was legitimately surprised to see him talking. In a confessional, no less. He was dragged along as a loyal dog just to be put down at fifth. Him dumping on Albert at Final Tribal Council was great, at least.
You just stuck me right in the back. Albert, the night that you took the immunity necklace from Brandon and you used the God thing on him, that was a bunch of bull. Sophie.
Can I comment on that,
no,
Rick, or no?
You can't
comment on that?
No.
Sadly, despite having a cool Ron Swanson type look, I gotta put him in meh.
I've been the guy that's able to climb coconut trees and hunt fish. I've also been really strong in challenges, but I don't think I've had the best strategy.
Go, Andy!
This time I'm more mature, and I've learned from my mistakes. I need redemption because I feel like I just haven't been able to lock my hands on the $1 million. I've almost been there a few times, and I just haven't been able to finish.
Ozzy, you joined the Red Tribe. Say hello.
Yay!
Yeah! Yeah! Yes!
I felt like I was received a lot more warmly than Coach, and I was actually hoping to go with the Red Tribe.
Ozzy Lust. This is where Prince Ozzy gets his most negative edit. Despite making it to fourth, he did not play a good game, as evidenced by him being voted out a total of 3 times. He serves to crush everyone's dreams on Redemption Island, since nobody can beat Ozzy at challenges, let's be honest. It's funny that nobody wants Coach on their tribe, they're only fans of Ozzy. Leaving Coach stands is like me, as the lonely fans. His tribe perceives him as an arrogant and entitled jungle boy, and they're not wrong. He acts like he owns the place when he isn't even the real leader of his tribe. He's more just like the figurehead. He wasn't leading decisions the way Coach was. The Elise and Semhar votes were very much against his best interest, and he was just being undermined without realizing it. He gets so pissy when Elise gets voted out, and he tells the tribe he has this idol for some reason afterwards.
He throws what can only be described as a hissy fit. I kind of thought Ozzy would wake up this morning realizing that he needs to apologize to everybody. That wasn't the case. He's taking his ball and going to the other side of the island and still puffing and puffing, not talking to anybody. And we're 12 hours after the fact, and he's still this pissy? Come on. And, not only that, he revealed that he had the idol and says that he's a free agent. I mean, the guy couldn't have made any worse moves than he did.
Oh, in all seriousness, he's just behaving like a stupid bitch.
I don't know what's funnier, how much Upolu celebrates after winning or how much Ozzy throws a hissy fit over losing the Jack and Jill challenge.
Yes! We did
it!
He must love Sandler.
Pure frustration and anger. I felt like we almost had it. We were there. Someone didn't connect the right rope to the right person or whatever. And it just went downhill from there. And we just got tangled up. And I can't even begin to describe the frustration. Because when you're just about to grab something and it gets pulled out of your hands, it's the worst feeling you can imagine. And now we got to go to tribal. And it's, yeah.
He kicks the wall, goes on this rant about losing when it's right there, and yells. It's hilarious, but it's also so childish. His acting chops once he gets to Redemption Island too. Absolutely Oscar worthy. It's where everyone realizes he's a Steven Seagal tier actor. Rob Sestanino compared it to a fifth grader reading the part for Romeo, and it fits so good. For revenge, basically.
I mean, I gave pretty much everything to my tribe. And then we lose one challenge because somebody can't operate a clip, and that ends up being the person that sends me here. You play the idol, you don't even... I know someone else probably knew that you had it. As far as I'm concerned, tribe boundaries, I mean, if we're at the merge, they don't exist anymore. It's all one for one, and whoever sticks together from this point on makes it farthest in the game. But I thrive with the pressure to come back in the game. For revenge, basically.
Give Oscar the Oscar. Let's now get into how much of a dick Ozzy was to Cochran only. Fans of Cochran most likely hated Ozzy for this. I felt really bad for old Cochran. Ozzy basically forces Cochran to hold down a chicken as Ozzy removes its head, which was clearly a very uncomfortable situation that visibly rattled him.
Ozzy went out of his way to put Cochran in uncomfortable situations, making him an object of ridicule.
Is blood gonna spurt out?
Yes. Hold it down. Hold it close to the bottom.
Oh, God. Yes, watch.
Gotta hold that leg up.
I was tasked with the role of holding the body of the rooster as Ozzy swung the machete.
Oh my God.
Ozzy was also targeting him from the start, and then at the merge, he had the nerve to say he's with Cochran. Ozzy, Jim, and Keith caused a flip. There's no doubt about that. But I feel like Ozzy did the most to make Cochran feel excluded. However, this isn't Cook Islands or Micronesia, where he's edited to look like a cool hero that everyone likes. His flaws are on full display. Ozzy will straight up tell people on Redemption Island that they have no chance against him.
We have a chance beating you at a duel.
You have a chance. Everyone has a chance. He really doesn't stand a chance.
And, yeah, he's correct, but he's just being a cock. It's hilarious. I really wanted to put Ozzy into annoying because I remembered as being the season where I really started to dislike Ozzy. But on rewatch, his entitled asshole attitude is just so funny to me now. He also came one immunity away from winning the entire game. He's such a good character on the season. He brought me such joy making fun of him. I'm gonna have to throw him into entertaining.
Did you know I was going home?
Let me tell you.
Did
right
you
now.
Know I was going home?
I'm gonna tell
Did
you.
Did you know I was going home? Yes or no?
This is the answer to that question.
Yes or no?
I was told.
Yes or no? There's no explanation.
Okay.
Did you know I was going home? Yes or no, or
Brandon,
I'll move on.
No.
And then you screw yourself.
I did not know that you were going home.
Okay, that's it. That's all I need to know.
Can
you
I
lied.
Tell you one, Brandon? Can I just?
Thank you, guys.
Albert DeStrada.
Fritz Albert!
Job title. Baseball/dating coach. Fly balls and negging. Weird combination. I watched 15 episodes featuring Albert as a main character, yet I can't tell you anything about Albert other than he sucked at Final Tribal Council and was Sophie's bitch. Albert was such a massive wet fart of a character. He had no chance of winning and was dragged along because Coach and Sophie both knew how much he sucked. Nobody respected him. It was fun to see everyone dogging him at Final Tribal Council, but really, who gives a shit about Albert? He's going into meh.
Do you have Prince Albert in a can? You do? Well, you better let the poor guy out!
I started this journey 3 years ago. I wanted to change the game, and I nicknamed myself the Dragon Slayer. I got voted off. I kind of felt like a fool. So I came back on Heroes and Villains, and I felt like I became the dragon.
Benjamin Coach Wade.
So glad you're back, Coach.
It's great to be back.
No fair, they got to have God as their 10th tribe member. I find it hilarious that nobody wanted to coach, yet eventually he controls his tribe the entire time as the rest of the tribe worships every word he says, while Ozzy is undermined by his tribe and not respected by them at all.
I'll just tell you right now, just being flat honest, if I were out here, would I rather have Coach Wade on my tribe or would I rather have Ozzy? I'd rather have Ozzy on my tribe, absolutely. Come on, give me a break. I'm not a great survivor.
By the way, Coach totally cheated on that first duel challenge against Ozzy, yet he still lost. Okay, he made an illegal move that Jeff missed. When Jeff told him not to stack big on small, Coach originally did it to free up the turtle to move to another spot, okay? But Jeff never told him to move the turtle back. It's just an observation I had. I just found it funny that he lost regardless. The trend of Coach trying to give people hugs as he votes them out and getting totally rejected by them is hilarious.
Okay, come on. Nope. Go have a seat.
All right, come on.
Seat.
Have a seat, man. Okay, it's all right. Go have a seat.
The least believable thing he says all season, however, is that people have been calling him coach since he was 18.
Anybody calls me Benjamin to my face, I'm going to go nuts. My parents call me coach. I've been being called coach since I was 18.
Why? Were you an 18-year-old coach? How does that happen? Coach's assistant, maybe, but I call BS on him being an actual head coach at 18, even if he really was skilled. Besides, if he was a coach for that long, where did he find time to go on these wild samurai adventures in the Amazon? Could coach be lying? No, no. Anyway, this time around we get to see cult leader coach. He controls his entire tribe through the power of Christianity. The whole scene of Coach asking God for help with the tribe to find the hidden immunity idol, knowing full well he had the immunity idol in his pocket, is just so sleazy and so gross, but it's so hilarious. It's not as offensive as him finding deep meaning within the movie Jack and Jill, though.
It was good because it was funny, but at the same time, it was a message, and the message was, hey, family comes first. It's a great message for us to be reminded that going into these days to come, it will get tough. It will get to be a point of compromise, but we have to be uncompromisable as a unit, unbreakable. That's what our tribe is, and now we're ready to play the second half of this game.
How are we doing?
Where were you?
Coach taking Cochran under his wing and telling Cochran that he's Hercules and himself is Zeus is just so hilarious.
That kind of stuff pisses me off, so you know what, Cochran? Come over here. I got room under my wing for you.
You are the most powerful man in the game. Okay?
Okay.
Really? Who is the most powerful god? Who is the strongest? Strongest man on earth, they called him.
Hercules?
Yep.
Absolutely. Hercules?
And I'll tell you why.
In dubbing me Hercules has quite literally entered me into the pantheon of survivor gods. I've earned his respect and trust, and now I'm wearing the iconic coach jacket. And I feel like the dragon blood that flows through his veins is now entering my pores and entering my bloodstream.
I thought that my name should be Zeus. Because Zeus is fatherly, right? He looks after everybody, and if somebody wrongs one of his children, he is ruthless in retribution.
I like that. I'm one of your children.
Despite Coach's claims that Zeus is a doting father, I seem to think Zeus ate his children.
Clearly all of Coach's knowledge of ancient Greek deities comes from Disney's Hercules. Honestly, if you know anything about Greek mythologies, the fact that they portrayed Zeus as a loving family man is absolutely hilarious. Sad thing is, Coach wins the game if he's not Coach.
This is my game to lose right now, and the reason why I say that is because Rick wants to take me to the final three. Sophie wants to take me to the final three. Albert wants to take me to the final three. Ozzy wants to take me to the final three. It's my game to lose.
Had he just stopped being him for 30 minutes and owned up to everything he did and just owned up to the fact that he's totally full of shit and just controlled his tribe that way, he wins the season. Had he just been like, yeah, I started a cult because that strategy is brilliant. I pulled over Cochran and I kept my entire alliance from flipping on me. I don't think anyone would have disagreed with him and given him the win.
This is what God wants you to do.
Well, I tell you what.
But what I need to do right now is I need to pray. And I promise you this, I will do whatever God tells me to do.
I understand you got to do what God wants you to do, but I know he doesn't want you to write my name down now.
Okay, I'm going to pray.
When you talk about finalists who should have won the game, Coach is near the top, up there with Boston Rob 2.0 and Chase. There's no question, he dominated the entire season strategically, yet he still comes up short because he just can't stop spewing bullshit from his mouth because that's what Coach does. Ever hear the fable about the scorpion and the frog? It's just in his nature. Coach 3.0 is amazing. A lot of people say he gets less interesting over time, but no, he doesn't. He's just as good as he was in both Token Chains and Heroes vs. Villain.
Like, really? Are you kidding me? Ozzy, no wonder you've never won Survivor. No wonder you always get blindsided. Because you're a freaking idiot.
He ain't budging from this tier. This tier is just his home. For the first time, Coach is in favorite tier for 3 seasons. That's amazing.
I just graduated college like 4 days ago.
What degree?
I was a Russian and economics major.
Yeah.
Cool.
Zdravstvuyte.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it?
No, I know a little bit.
Oh, spasiba. I'm a Russian economics major. Coach, zdravstvuyte, which means like, a pretty formal way to say hello. You know, he's ready to show off what he has. So, but at the same time, like, you can't deny what the situation is. The coach has been out here twice before. He knows some things.
Sophie Clark. I kind of like Sophie. She's a winner you don't see coming that is mistakenly thought of as a goat. But I also think she kind of sucks at the same time. She doesn't give a lot of interesting confessionals. She doesn't have any sort of lasting presence until she starts yelling at Albert like he's her personal bitch.
Sophie loses half of her stack.
Hey, Albert, drop your stack and come pick up my pieces.
I'm in a pretty decent spot right now.
Drop your damn stack and pick up my pieces. I'm going to beat you. Albert, just drop your stack.
Her yelling at Albert to drop his stack and come over and pick up her blocks is one of the funniest things on the entire season. But as funny as it is, she just comes off as such an entitled brat for it. She's also near the bottom of most people's winner list for a reason. Sophie can be this ball of anger, and it's kind of funny watching her get mad during challenges, but I do feel bad for Albert sometimes, but only sometimes. She won because she had the best final tribal council performance by a mile, compared to Coach's honor and loyalty bullshit and Albert figuratively slipping on banana peels and stepping on rakes. However, I will still call her a good player. While it's not a dominant game, she still wins. And at the end of the day, a dub is a dub. Every Survivor winner deserves it. She's at the bottom of good player, though.
I want Reese's Peanut Butter Cups at the airport and fresh-made banana bread. And a hamburger.
South Pacific is a season that gets a little bit overrated, in my opinion. A lot of people think it's pretty great, but I think it's just okay. I mean, the coach run is great. I love him starting a cult, and I love how much everyone drinks the Kool-Aid. I mean, a lot of people find it offensive that he used Christianity to control the game, but I think it's kind of brilliant, and it's not far off from what historically politicians have been doing with the religion they're in. Historically, they've been doing that forever, but anyway. But I also think if you genuinely fall for coach's bullshit, then, like, that's your problem. Plus, I think only Edna and Brandon were the only ones fully submerged in the Kool-Aid. I think the rest just kind of knew that Coach would blow it at Final Tribal Council and that he was essentially just this giant power goat in the game. It's clear Coach took a lot of pointers from Russell, also how to lose the game. That's also a lesson he took from Russell. But anyway, if you enjoyed this video, please like, comment, and subscribe. I enjoy it when people are communicating to me through my comment section. So, yeah, if you want to let your opinions be known by me, that's where to do it. But hey, even if you just made it through to this part of the video and you're not subscribed or you don't like or you don't comment or anything, that's okay too. I still appreciate you. But next on the docket, we have... we have Survivor One World. No. Survivor One World is my least favorite season. It's not pleasant to go through, but I know some people are at least excited about me going to it. You know I'm going to give Colton a good old spanking. But I don't want to watch through it again. Not again, not again, not again. Ugh. Anyway, if you want to see me in pain, that will be where to see me. And thank you for watching. Goodbye. I love you.